to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson, and I'm here with guest co-host Wendy Fisher.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here.
And joining us in the studio this morning is Cooper Farr. She's the conservation director at the Tracy Aviary, here to talk about light pollution, bird migration, and how we can get involved. So, Cooper, thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So I think a lot of us think of the aviary as, you know, a museum, a visitor center where we can go and experience these birds. But there's a conservation arm of this. And so tell us a little bit about your role there and what you do.
Yeah, so I direct our conservation science program. So the aviary has conservation and education in our mission. And one of the things that we really want to do is work on local bird conservation projects. So our conservation science program does that in a number of ways. We take money from ticket sales and we actually give it out as grants and pledges to other organizations doing bird research and conservation. But also a big part of what we do is work on local conservation issues. We do a number of projects with the help of citizen scientists. So we do everything from bird monitoring, looking at the impacts of plant restoration on bird communities. We do a lot of work along the Jordan River and around Salt Lake County. We do nest box surveys. And then, of course, a big part of what we do, I think, is what we're going to talk about later with our dark sky work and the impact of light pollution on migrating birds.
Well, and I think one of the things that you talked about a little bit earlier, just to give people a point of reference, we're going to talk about songbird migration a little bit later. But what a lot of people realize is that, don't realize is that the Great Salt Lake hosts about two-thirds of the North American bird species on their migration. Tell us a little bit about how significant Utah is from that perspective.
Yeah, so you're exactly right. Great Salt Lake is a really important asset for our migrating birds. The Great Salt Lake and all of the surrounding wetlands are very important for food resources, a stopover ground for birds that are coming through, and of course also for birds that are actually migrating up here and breeding in the area. Great Salt Lake is very important. The whole Salt Lake Valley is actually a really important corridor for migrating birds. And a lot of the migrating songbirds are kind of making their journey both up and down by kind of navigating along this valley, along the Jordan River and the riparian areas, which have a lot of really important resources for them.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, challenges that birds face during their migration. Obviously, there are those that are natural and those that are human caused. So what are the biggest impacts on a migratory species?
Yeah, so one of the biggest impacts on migratory species that is human caused is actually just all of these buildings and structures that we've put up all over the landscape. So bird building collisions are a really big problem for a lot of migratory birds. So up to 1 billion bird species are, dying from colliding with buildings and structures each year in North America. A big reason that this happens is actually light pollution. So a majority of the birds that migrate, they migrate at night for a number of reasons. And so as they're traveling along at night, they're historically used to the ground below them being dark. And when we have all of these lights shining up into the air, they can actually get drawn to them, sort of like you would think a moth going towards a porch light, and get drawn into the areas. And they get drawn into these areas with lots of buildings and windows and homes and end up colliding with those buildings.
And part of that issue, too, is obviously the time that they're migrating, right? Because people might tend to have their lights on a little bit more during that time. So tell us when the peak times are that these birds are migrating and that there are these issues with the light pollution.
Yeah, so the peak times that these birds that migrate at night would be 11 p.m. to about 6 in the morning. So the time actually when people are usually, for the most part, asleep is when a lot of these birds are coming through the area. But that makes the solution fairly easy because we don't really need lights when we're
How
sleeping.
How convenient for us.
Yeah. So if people can just turn out those lights that they don't need at night, then the birds can kind of pass over safely while we're sleeping.
So let's talk about the Lights Out campaign and what that entails.
Yes, exactly. So last year, actually, we started this Lights Out Salt Lake initiative or campaign. And the idea of this is just during peak bird migration time, so spring and fall. We want people to turn out their unnecessary lights at night between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m., so just when you're sleeping at night. Get all of your lights out. You know, people in their homes can participate by turning out their porch lights or, you know, blocking out their inside lights from going outside with curtains. But also buildings and businesses are, of course, encouraged to participate and turn out their lights at night when they're usually closed and don't need those lights.
So you made the point about the outdoor lights and kind of, you know, directing those or just turning them off. But also the point about indoor lighting, right? So it's not just about what we have outdoors. It's about the lights we have inside shining yes. through the windows. Can yeah. you talk a little bit more about how that impacts the birds?
I mean, exactly. I mean, every little bit of light that is escaping outwards and upwards could potentially impact birds that are coming through the area. So all of those lights, even the ones inside that are shining out, are sort of adding to the overall light pollution in the areas that we live. Yeah, easy solutions. If you want to be up that late, then just having curtains up and kind of closing in that light into where you really need it works best for the birds.
Great.
So there's the spring migration period and then the fall as well that we need to be careful of our lighting during.
Yes, great point. So yeah, spring migration, we ask people to participate in Lights Out Salt Lake March through May, and in the fall, it's August through October. We actually find a lot more birds end up colliding with buildings during the fall. We get much greater numbers during fall migration. So we think that's for a number of reasons. One is just, you know, birds come up here and they breed and have a lot of little birds, so there are just more birds out there that need to make that journey south for their first migration. So there are more coming through and then more impacted by us as they fly.
Are the younger birds more heavily impacted? Is that like is there a learning curve there?
That's a great question. And it's something I think we still need to investigate. That was sort of our hypothesis with our study, because we were seeing so many more birds in the fall than in the spring. But it seems to really impact both adult and juvenile birds the same way. So I don't know if it's a learning curve. It's just kind of inherent with how they navigate the landscape. So both the young ones and the old ones tend to be impacted. So I think it's more just that there are more birds out there.
Okay.
Wow. Well, and I guess one of the things that we want to talk about, too, is the actual collision survey that you are doing, the avian collision survey. To really find out where this is happening, how it's happening. And it's actually something that people can get really involved with. It's part of your citizen science program, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, SLACS, as we call it, or the Salt Lake Avian Collision Survey, we started 2 years ago in the spring of 2017. Actually, a lot of cities around North America have other, you know, citizen science or volunteer groups that are going out and looking at this issue by finding those birds that have collided with buildings. But it had never happened in our area before. So back in 2017, you know, we were really interested in this issue, and we wanted to actually see, you know, what was going on in Salt Lake, if it was really impacting the birds the same way as we find in places like Chicago and New York and DC and Portland, kind of all of these other areas. So, we started a citizen science program. So people can join us or go out on their own. Right now, we're just surveying downtown Salt Lake City. So it's 20 blocks in downtown Salt Lake. And you have to wake up a little early. You get out there around when the sun is rising, and you kind of walk around buildings, around the sidewalks, and see if you can find any birds that have collided with the buildings overnight.
So just to be clear, and I guess a little morbid, we're not talking about...
we're going to go there.
Okay. We're not talking about going out and using your binoculars and seeing the flying birds. This is the whole point of that, is to see birds that have... Well, they're dead on the ground or that sort of thing.
Yes.
I just wanted to make
it. Right, yeah.
Yes, not to be morbid.
I didn't actually quite get that at first.
Yes, and it is, you know, it's a sad thing to find a bird that has collided with a window or a building, but it's important to see that that's happening so that we can take steps like lights out to try and protect those birds. I will say that every time we do find a dead bird, we have a collection permit, so we collect them and we actually donate them to the Utah Museum of Natural History, and they are actually going to be using them in an upcoming exhibit. So at least they're kind of going somewhere and can be used for future education efforts. And then also at times birds do collide with buildings, but they don't die. They get stunned for a little while. And so if we do find those birds, we can either keep them, kind of warm them up until they're kind of safe and ready to move on, or take them up to the rehab center. And that has happened a couple of times.
And as far as what you're looking for from the citizen scientist, obviously you're asking them to identify the birds. Give us a little bit more about what somebody would do kind of typically going out there and what information you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. So we get a whole range of people with different skill levels in terms of how much they can actually identify the birds, and that's totally fine. Whenever someone finds a bird, we have them take a picture of it and then, of course, collect it. So we ask them to identify it if they can, but if they can't, we can help them with that ID.
You've got some expertise in-house.
We've got some expertise, yeah. We've got a few people who know their birds. So, yes, they do that. We want to know exactly where they found it. We actually use all of this information, and we do analyses that actually look at what are the really dangerous areas in downtown Salt Lake, or what are the characteristics of some of the buildings that might, you know, make it more likely that a bird will kind of collide with that building. So we want to know exactly where they found it, you know, the time that they found it, date, and if they can, what the bird species is.
So what kind of results are you finding? Like how many birds have these volunteers collected, and what are the trends?
Yeah, so over the last 2 years, we've found 89 birds representing 32 different species. And that's just in that 20-block radius in downtown Salt Lake. Wow. And that's also, you know, we have usually 12 to 17 volunteers each season. So people aren't going out everywhere every day. And so it seems like this is a fairly significant impact if we're just doing kind of a small sample of those blocks and the time and finding all of these birds. In terms of the types of species that we find, we're seeing very similar trends to what kind of other cities would see. So warblers and sparrows tend to be really heavily impacted. We had a slightly surprising uptick of hummingbird strikes actually this past fall, which was sad to see, but we don't really know why that happened, but we had some big numbers of hummingbirds in the fall.
Wow. Have you seen the residents or the inhabitants or the owners of the buildings where some of these are taking place, have they been showing interest in, like, what can we do to help prevent some of this, or how can we help gather data?
Yeah, we've definitely seen some interest. And the nice thing about citizen science is that you have a bunch of people from the community, like, out there, you know, in the place that this is happening. So we definitely encourage everyone to talk to whoever, you know, is walking by and is curious about what they're doing. We're really hoping, especially this year, to get some of those, you know, bigger buildings and businesses downtown to join with the initiative that we have for Lights Out.
So from a nationwide perspective, what are some of the things that these studies are hoping to achieve? I mean, one, obviously gaining that knowledge, but is there part of this that then says, well, you know, if we constructed buildings, like you said, the actual characteristic different, what are you seeing from that from a national level that they're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, from a national level, I think there's a lot of value in having our kind of small scale study and comparing across all of these different studies across the landscape to see exactly what you were saying, how we can design buildings, how we can design lighting so that it's just safer, less likely for a bird to you know, want to be drawn down into this area and end up colliding with a building. Yeah, so we're hoping that kind of with all of this information that we're gathering combined, we can get some good designs for what we're putting out there. I will say that, you know, you don't have to just have no lights at all on the ground for it to be safe for a bird to fly overhead. If you just have properly shielded lighting, so it's kind of going downward where you want the light usually to go instead of up into the air, you know, that has huge impacts and really helps the birds kind of not be drawn into that area.
And things like motion sensors as well can also be helpful.
Yeah, that's a great point. A lot of people are concerned about safety. You know, they want lights at night because they're worried about what's out there. So when I get that question, often I recommend motion sensor lights because really then those just come on when something's moving and you want to know what's out there. And then otherwise the lights are out, which is better for the birds.
And people can actually sign up to take this pledge.
Yes. Yes. So on just the Tracy Aviary website, tracyaviary.org/lightsoutsaltlake, we have the pledge. So you can learn a little bit more about what exactly it entails. It's really straightforward. We just want the lights out at night. And then you can take a pledge. We have free yard signs that people can take
say,
all right, I fight the light for birds. And you can pick them up at the aviary and take them to your house to kind of share with your neighbors what you're doing. And then you can also find information about SLACS, the Salt Lake Avian Collision Survey, on our website. If you are interested in joining, we're always looking for more people who want to come and help out with that.
So we have a few minutes left, and we wanted to touch on some of the other programs that you have going. You do other surveys with volunteer groups and some projects locally that you mentioned at the beginning. So maybe choose a couple of those to highlight really quickly.
So many to talk about. Yeah, sure.
In 2 minutes, right?
Well, we're just getting close to our breeding season. And so a really big part of what we do is we train volunteers to go out and do breeding season point count surveys. We have 12 different study sites around Salt Lake County. And we kind of train people to be able to identify all of the birds that are out there, the living birds this time, by sight and by sound, so they can go out into the area and figure out you know, which birds are using that area, which is really important information. Especially, we have a lot of sites along the Jordan River. People are doing plant restoration work or otherwise kind of managing that area in the hopes that it's, you know, a really healthy ecological area. And those birds can kind of tell us a little more about what's going on with the habitat out there. So that's something that we've recruited people and we're now in training to get people to learn all those birds and go out and do those studies. So there's one. We also, we have a nest box monitoring survey, which I always love each year. And that's actually up at Alta Ski Area. So we get to train people to go and stick kind of like GoPro cameras up in nest boxes and monitor all of these cavity nesting birds that are up at high elevations at Alta. So higher elevation birds tend to not have as many studies on them. And so it's really fun for us to go and see what's going on with those birds up at Alta.
You know, one of the things that I learned from Tracy Aviary at one of your bird surveys was just how important it is when you're doing a restoration project to make sure that you're not doing it during the breeding and the nesting time.
Yes.
Because if you're cutting out like a Russian olive, which we all know need to leave the area, if you cut it out and there's a nest in there, then you can affect that. So it's oftentimes really great to check in with someone like Tracy Aviary and understand whether or not you're going to have that kind of impact as you're doing the right thing by getting rid of that invasive species, but you don't want to hurt the birds as well. So that's one of the things that I think comes from some of the surveys that you guys do.
Yes, that's a great point and super important. You know, we want those birds to be successful while they're breeding. So we can hold off on taking out limbs or trees until after the breeding season. That'll help a lot.
And if listeners are interested in kind of learning more about birds, they can visit the aviary, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we have many, many species of birds, both birds that are native to Utah, but also from around the world. And if you haven't visited the aviary, you should. It's a really fun place to go and to learn more about birds.
Do you want to give us your hours? And
oh, yes. So, yeah, we are open 9 to 5, 7 days a week. So you can drop by anytime. And yeah, come visit.
And you're located just off of 7th East thereabouts in Liberty Park?
Yeah, so we're in Liberty Park, just the southwest part of the park, if you come into the park and drive south, you'll find us.
Perfect. Well, that is Cooper Farr, the conservation director at the Tracy Aviary. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we'll be looking for an update from you this fall.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.